We're going to go basically through the third chapter in 2 Timothy, looking for Paul's concentrated instructions on how to pass on the gospel that and the doctrine that was revealed to him by Christ, and seeing that he was facing execution, very near to it, he gives these instructions, and that's what we're going to go through. But to lead into it, let's look at the last five verses or so of chapter 2. And we're just going to read through until we get to 3 and then try to draw some understanding from 3. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, and apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those who oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And that is his will, it's Satan's will, to stumble us, to keep people from hearing the gospel to be saved and believing it, giving them all kinds of questions to delay their realizing their need to just receive it. But let's go on into chapter 3. And this know also, that in the last days perilous times will come. So Paul is preparing followers for those last days of the body of Christ on earth, not the same last days that Peter talked about in Acts 2:16, being Joel's prophesying of the of Israel's 70th week. The It's slipping my mind right now. The tribulation, excuse me. Paul is getting the followers that believed his gospel ready for the last days of the body of Christ, intending for the body of Christ to grow and to extend God's offer of salvation to others. Verse 2 in the third chapter. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Sounds very much like how he ended Romans there, doesn't it? In Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Mark those that cause divisions among you, divisions away from the doctrine that Paul taught, and avoid them. Avoid them. Here he says, from such, turn away. So this is a revealing. It's been revealed to Paul that all these negative things are going to be occurring just before the catching up of the body of Christ, the last days here on earth of the body of Christ. Let's go to verse 6 in 2 Timothy 3. Of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins. And we should review here, I think, the three verses at the end of 2 Corinthians 5 about our status before God, what he has done to bring us into that position. To wit, and this is 2 Corinthians 5, 19, 20, and 21. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He, being God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, Christ who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not attain it, not work toward it, not get good enough to be the righteousness of God. No, he makes us that. He imputes that righteousness of God on those who believe. So 2 Timothy 3:6 again, of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what we're studying here. Not only salvation, how to be saved, but coming to the knowledge of the truth through the word of God. Verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. You can, all these verses so far that we've read, almost all of them have a negative tone to them, don't they? That there is trouble coming, there is trouble ahead, there is wandering away from God, just like Israel did, almost. Except that we in the body of Christ are saved. Israel wasn't saved yet. They were waiting for the return of the Lord to blot out their sins on the day of atonement for them. And that's the return of Christ to earth. That's 7 years at least after we have been caught up to be with the Lord. So they're different events. And now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was, Jannes and Jambres were. So verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. My doctrine, Paul is saying. It's the doctrine that Paul was the channel. Paul was the conduit through whom Christ speaks to us, gives us what is God's instructions for us today, for all people, not regarding Israel, not that the way that was open until Israel fell and it was no longer a way to God. We need Paul's doctrine. We need to learn it. We need to distinguish it from Israel's doctrine. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, Paul says to Timothy, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, verse 11, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and this is verse 12, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And some people say that suffering there is not, it's a persecution. It's not related to Romans 8:17, but it does. It plainly says suffer, and the kind of suffering is not just suffering, name calling or stick throwing. It's persecution. It is a suffering. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers. Here's back to the admonition, the warnings here. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Stay in the Word of God daily so that you're not deceived. You're not deceived by the Word of God. You may be deceived by somebody's spin on it, but, you know, be in it, in the Word enough that you recognize the counterfeit. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul taught him. And Paul teaches us through his 13 epistles, Romans through Philemon. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. These Holy Scriptures he's talking about is not what he wrote. From a child would have been before Paul was saved, would have been before Romans through Philemon was written, and many of the Hebrew epistles, before, you know, Matthew. I don't remember the order of those. I think John is a later writing of the first four of the New Testament. But they're all considered Old Testament since they were about Jesus before he was killed, before the death of the testator. So let's finish. I didn't finish that verse, 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Salvation is what? It's through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. But the Old Testament Scriptures don't tell you that. They make you wise to be able to understand it when you hear it. Make you wise. Is able to make you wise. It doesn't force you to be wise. You have to dig in. You have to, you know, seekers find. So often when you hear people's testimonies, the ones that get saved are the ones that sought and sought and sought. Seeked. Were seeking after. So, make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given, and that's a fact too. All Scripture is given. When Paul laid down his pen, that was it. He was the one that the Lord had designated to complete, to fill up the Word of God. Colossians 1:25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of the grace. Excuse me, a dispensation of God, the dispensing of God, which is given to me to you to fill. To fulfill the Word of God. Fill it up. And going back to 3:16 in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is given. It's given by inspiration of God. Witnessing that from other Scriptures, we see Genesis 2:7. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The breath of God. Inspiration. It's God breathed. The Word of God is God breathed. Man became a living soul. Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, understood that it's saying, cometh by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. He's not saying he's God or he's the Lord, but he was the channel through which God spoke to us. And that channel is closed now. It's, you know, we have his word, but it's not being added to. 2 Timothy 3:16 again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. For doctrine, yes. Acts is not excluded from being profitable for doctrine. When kept in context and when rightly divided, considering which people group each part was written to and written about. Acts is profitable for doctrine. Just don't abuse it by failing to use it or by misapplying it. along with the rest of Scripture being useful and profitable for doctrine. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I've heard it said, I don't know the construction of in the Greek, but I've heard it said that instruction instruction in righteousness is what the first three are for: doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, and all of those are for instruction in righteousness. I don't know. I don't know. It's a thought. It's an opinion. It's not the Word of God that's a summary of the first three. It is the Word of God that it's there, and that is it's true. It's a true statement. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the goal is to perfect godly men. The means is to furnish the man of God through and through by the Word of God. Study to show, it's back to 2:15 again, to show yourself approved unto God. So let's go on to beginning of chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee, therefore. So this is a solemn charge. I mean, Paul is about to die. He's trained Timothy, brought him up, taught him what's important, taught him to follow God and the revelation that God had made to Paul. And now he says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Timothy received this charge from Paul. And one place we see it, or saw it already, was in the second chapter. And the thing, this is second chapter, verse 2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, those things, the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Pass on Paul's charge to faithful men to teach others also. You know, don't just pass on. His charge is in the Word of God. Pass that part on too. So, going back to 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. We'll be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ as to how we carry out our charge. Just as review, look in 1 Corinthians 3:13 about our the judgment seat of Christ. Every man's work, and incidentally, this is a major difference between the church which Christ started in Matthew 16, Israel's church, called the Church of God. The difference between that and the church which is his body, the body of Christ. In Israel's church, Jesus said, I will build my church. And here, look who it says is building the church, the body of Christ. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss. But, and this is thrilling here, I think, he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. It means even if you're going down the wrong track, thinking you're going down the right track, if you're saved, if you believe that Christ died for all your sins and rose for your justification, you're saved still. I mean, here's another declaration of it. Just like we saw in 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, I think it is. 13 or 14, I think it's 13. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Believers in Paul's gospel will be judged at his appearing. Believers in Israel's kingdom gospel, will be judged at his kingdom, at his appearing and his kingdom. So I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So Paul gets into the blunt, practical directions of what he is passing on to Timothy. He says, preach the word. This is verse 2, 2 Timothy 4, 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Be instant out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Exhort. A lot of keeping in line there. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Don't just jabber at them. Use the doctrine, the word of God. Remember, that's where the power is. It's in the word of God. Spirit-inspired word. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears. You know, he's just continuing. He's gone through this since the end of chapter 2. He's gone through verse after verse of the trouble that's coming, that was coming, and that, you know, is partly here. It's going to get worse, though. Having itching ears, verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, if you hear some of the preachers, they just give you stories. They say, let's follow what God says, and then they ignore the Bible and just tell you stories. 2 Timothy 4:5. But, here's a turn around. All that aside, watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Full proof. Not fool proof, full, complete proof of your ministry, of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul knew he had only a little while left to finish passing on to Timothy all that would benefit him and us and the rest of the church, the body of Christ. He goes on, he says in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And you can't help but notice the parallel wording and sentence construction between 2 Timothy 4:7 that we just read and Acts 20:24 about Christ's sending of Paul on the ministry to all men. And I believe that's why it's mentioned first in Acts 9:15, because it's gone, what, almost 2,000 years that's been the main emphasis. It was the important one. The more people are being saved through that than, you know, through, well, let's see, he says, Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Well, kings was just that brief time there, King Agrippa and Caesar, that he appeared before. So that wasn't ascending to them. It was a prophesying that they are a revealing that in the future Paul would stand before kings to witness. And then finally, lastly, the children of Israel, which is how it starts, really, with I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, to Israel first. So, but look at the parallel between those two verses. Let's just read and try to gather some of these parallels together. Read Acts 20:24 first now. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And that's that introduction to that gospel there in Acts 20. So 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight, finished my course, and kept the faith. So let's see. In Acts, he says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. In 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I have fought a good fight. And then in Acts 20:24, so that I might finish my course with joy. In 2 Timothy 4:7, I have finished my course. And you come down to, let's see, Acts 20 again. He said, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have kept the faith, what was committed to him. So, in Acts 20:24, it says to testify the gospel of the grace of God, and that's different from to testify about the gospel of the grace of God. To testify something involves showing it, living it in front of people. To testify something is the idea of Romans 9, excuse me, Romans 8:29, to testify of something. It goes, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed. You testify so that people have an idea of what's going on, what they're to conform to. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, us believers in Paul's gospel. And Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So I hope we can see the parallel. Working out your salvation is testifying that the gospel of the grace of God, that it makes a difference in us. Testify the gospel of the grace of God. I have kept the faith, he said in 4:7. Then he goes on in 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Well, henceforth, it said, henceforth means this being true, or if so be. And then he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Paul did not say, henceforth there is laid up for me the righteousness of God. No. All believers in the gospel of the grace of God already have been imputed the very righteousness of God. That's part of our salvation, and it's part of what God does. So here Paul is saying, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Crowns have to do with ruling a domain. Crowns have to do with dominion. You remember, the dominion is what Satan usurped from Adam in the garden, from Adam and Eve. And here Paul is talking about being used in the victory of God over Satan. Crown of righteousness. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. And I believe it would be out of context to take love his appearing to mean the catching up. I believe Paul is talking about Christ's appearing to him on the road to Damascus, and the gospel that by which a condemned, you know, unforgivable sinner up till then, not knowing about the future doctrine and gospel and salvation that the Lord was patterning to, you know, for Paul first to experience. But this is what Paul's been talking about here, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, the telling of the secret. Due to his current condition, Paul was giving instructions how to continue to propagate the gospel, how to continue the growth of the body of Christ on earth before the catching up. 2 Timothy 4:9 now. Do thy diligence to come shortly. unto me shortly. Paul hints that the death penalty awaits him. Come shortly. Don't delay or it'll be too late, in other words. He says in verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. And that's in opposition to having loved those in this present world. Demas loved the world system itself, the things of the world, worldliness. You know, catch a sight of the difference there. We are to love those in the world. For Demas hath forsaken, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia. And I don't know whether, you know, Titus unto Dalmatia. I don't know that they're not in the same category, I don't think, with Demas, that forsaken. He left because he forsook the... having loved this present world. But the others just left. I mean, it doesn't say why, but we understand from Titus, I think, and probably also Crescens, since they're mentioned together, that they were sent out on missions to these different areas. Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Dalmatia is, I think that's around where Yugoslavia used to be, and Croatia and Bosnia, in that area. Titus was sent up there. And if you look at a map of those times, it's further north than it's recorded that Paul had physically traveled. Going out further, that's what he was raising funds for in 2 Corinthians 10:16, to go beyond where he had gone when he was still preaching the gospel of Christ. That Dalmatia is northwest of Achaia, which is Greece. The Macedonia, it's northwest up in there. The area, it's just out of where they had gone before. They were going to the far-off Gentiles. Far hence to the far-off Gentiles. So from this we can see that by the end of the last epistle that Paul wrote, Paul had begun sending his fellow workers far hence. It wasn't just talk. And if Paul had been commissioned earlier to go to all men, then he would, when we read in Acts, we'd read about Titus departing to Dalmatia in Acts. But it doesn't come until the last of his prison epistles, the last epistle that he wrote here in 2 Timothy. So, we'll stop here for now and ask if there are any questions that we can relate to the scripture, and or that we we might not know the answer of. I don't know.